any hope in us, if there's any joy, if there's any peace, it's on account of the belief that we have in the work of Jesus Christ. Amen? The gospel is beautiful. And, part two, the gospel requires us to engage in the journey of the gospel. The pathway of gospeling. Did you see how Paul described all the different roles that are involved in getting the gospel from Jerusalem to Rome and beyond? Notice, he describes Roman believers. He describes those who have some maturity. They have some knowledge. He says, you have the ability to teach one another. He's called to preach the gospel to those who've never heard. Paul recognizes that he has a unique place in God's plan for bringing the gospel to the world. He describes how there are believers, saints in Jerusalem, who have been faithful, and on account of their faithfulness, they're suffering and they are in need. And he describes other roles. He describes believers in Macedonia and Achaia who were generous, who responded to that need and had given financially and sacrificially to help their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. Paul described how in Judea there were some who were disobedient, some who were they were opposing the work that God had called Paul to do. And Paul describes how some of the believers were striving together with him through prayer. That's a key role in the work of the gospel. And he says, some believers are refreshing company. And I can tell you, as a missionary, some believers are refreshing company. We all have a role to play in God's work of the gospel. And I want us to think about how the movement of the gospel, the first part is a beautiful growing thing that's like a relationship, the work of the Holy Spirit building relationships and bringing people into relationship with him. It's an organic thing, you could call it. And then in this next section, I'm not going to call it the business of the gospel because that sounds just a little bit too capitalistic, too basic. But Paul describes how there's planning and there's projects and there's logistics and there's travel and there's boots on the ground to get things done. The gospel can't just happen in a textbook and it can't just happen in a classroom. It happens in real life with real people going to real places and doing really real things. Another thing that I think is worth noticing is that Paul is ambitious. Verse 24, he talks about going to Spain. He's going backwards to get there because first he's going to go to Jerusalem, and then on his way to Spain, he's going to stop in Rome. He wants to go far. And I think we should respect that. Paul asked for help. Did you notice that? How's he going to get to Spain? He's going to spend some time in Rome with the believers there and have refreshing fellowship. And he'll be supplied to continue the journey that God has called him to. Notice in verse 17, Paul doesn't boast except in God's work. Christ's accomplishments are noteworthy, not man's accomplishments. And notice that Paul says there's evidence of gospel work. If the gospel is happening, there will be repentance. He says there will be obedience. There will be lives changed for those who hear. And look at how he describes verse 21. They who had no news of him shall see. The blind. They who have not heard shall understand. Those who were spiritually dead. Spiritual blindness is reversed in Paul's presence. The gospel brings spiritual sight to the blind. It brings life to those who have been dead, and it brings peace and joy to those who are broken and hurt. The gospel brings healing. And I'm reminded of a quote that has come to my mind quite a bit since Angie Loper passed away. And this quote comes from a guy named Robert Shannon. He says this: never pity missionaries. Envy them. Because they are where the real action is, where life and death, sin and grace, heaven and hell converge. That's what God has called each one of us to. To be at the place where the gospel is impacting lives. To be engaged in that place, some by being sent, some by going, others by praying, some by giving, some by staying in Rome and teaching one another, some by being refreshing to those who pass through. We each have a part. And I am humbled, to be part of the legacy of missions at Highland Hills Baptist Church. And I think that the way that this church has been involved in missions historically is noteworthy. Growing up here, we saw people go. We loaded a container to send Donna to Ukraine. We can look through the old pictures and see missionaries who went before. And praise God for many families in this church who have aunts and uncles, brothers, sisters, children, grandchildren who serve the Lord. This church is blessed with a legacy of missionary faithfulness. And I say that for God's praise and for God's glory, because it's only what God accomplishes that we should celebrate. Amen? But I think we should recognize the work of God. I think it's appropriate to do so. And I appreciate it more and more when I interact with teammates of mine, some of whom come from a church that's never sent a missionary before, and they're the first missionary that the church has sent. And that's significant. It means a lot. It means a lot to me that I'm part of a legacy of those who have gone before, and I am supported and encouraged by a church that knows how to take care of missionaries. When we look at the gospel, we have to respond personally and to know where we stand before God. And we also are called to think about those who haven't heard yet. And we must consider the part that God has asked us to play. Those who go, those who sent, are in no way superior to those who strive in prayer, to those who refresh, to those who give, and to those who participate fully in the calling God has given them. What I want us to appreciate tonight is that we each play a part, and we can rejoice together in God's answered prayer, the way that He's blessing, and we can trust Him to be faithful as we take steps of obedience in service to Him. Amen? Amen. That's the message. I'm going to invite Leah to come up, and we'll do a little bit of report. Do we have a picture of the family? All right. Family update, emphasis on missions in our local church in Bucharest, and then we'll do some review of where we've been over the past few months. Go ahead.
So family update real quick. We have one that's getting married. And I do want to thank you all for blessing Grace and Riley in their upcoming wedding. We're down to the final days and weeks, and I'm not feeling stressed by it because it's not my wedding, but But just continue to pray for them and God's leading in their lives. Rose was with us this last week with her some of her college friends for spring break, and is doing very well at school, and God has been really encouraging her through some financial gifts that have come in for her and helped her with her schooling this semester, which has been a huge praise and a huge evidence of God's provision in her life specifically. So we're thankful for that. You can praise the Lord for that with us. Wayne is... I think he snuck out because he didn't want to be part. Oh, there he is up there. Wayne obviously is still doing homeschool and is enjoying all the fun motorcycling, biking things that he gets to do with Braden Feenstra and his cousin Josiah. And that's been a blessing to him and just a real encouragement to us in his growth and his relationship. So we're just really thankful that the kids are continuing to move forward and taking good, healthy steps in their lives. The next thing that I want to tell you about is about 3 years ago, and we didn't touch on this in September, but about 3 years ago, I started praying with one of our, with another lady in our church in Bucharest, Sfânta Treime, Holy Trinity Baptist Church is what it's called. And we started praying specifically for our missionaries that have been sent from the church. Holy Trinity has 5 individuals. At that time, there were only 4 individuals and families who were sent from the church upwards of 20 years ago. And the church just hadn't developed a very good way of helping the congregation to understand about missionaries and their needs and just be able to communicate with them and understand them. And so this girlfriend and I, we started praying about how we could go about this. Well, in the midst of all that, there was a pastoral change, and the pastor took an interest in what we were praying about. And since then, Andrew and I have been able to help develop a missions committee at the church. They've done great mission work in the past, but this is like our mission committee would be, in a way that just is really interacting with the missionaries that have already been sent, and allowing and helping the church to understand how to better care for and love on and know their missionaries. We have missionaries in Peru and Bolivia, and if COVID hadn't struck last spring, Andrew was prepared to go with our pastor to Peru and Bolivia to meet with our missionaries and to encourage them and as representatives from our church. We also have missionaries in Moldova and in Greece and in the Middle East. So be praying for our missionaries, Romanian individuals who have gone out from our church, and that Andrew and I would just be able to have the wisdom to know how to help our church to better care for and interact with our missionaries.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. So back in July 2020, we got on an airplane. Here we are in the terminal, getting ready to leave. It was kind of an abrupt departure because our team had been through some difficulties, loss. We had been in lockdown, COVID restrictions, and camp had been canceled, so we felt like we were getting the rug pulled out from underneath us to do. We weren't able to do the normal summer ministries. So there we are at the airport. Here we are getting ready to come through Amsterdam. Notice anything different about this picture? Wayne has grown so much in the past few months. Go ahead. Wayne was able to go to camp at Lake Ann this past year, so that was pretty awesome. Rose got started at Moody as a freshman in the music program. She got all A's her first semester. And Wayne, as part of his homeschooling, has been working on small engines. So that's happening. We have been able to present, to report, in about 14 churches. We have 12 churches that support us right now. We've been in 3 new churches that don't support us. This is actually Kelly reporting here. because it's hard to take a picture of myself while I'm reporting. So we were able to visit most of our churches, except the two that we missed while we had COVID, 2 weeks. And so we missed some. Also, some restrictions prevented us from being face-to-face with a few places. So we did record greetings for those churches and video messages. And let me tell you, if you only get to see people every 2 or 4 years, doing it on a video is not thrilling. There were other things that happened over these months. We were at Lake Ann for Exiled 2 different weekends and preached to young people there. So that was an excellent, excellent time. Go ahead. Oh, Rose had a birthday. Rose is 18 now, and she very rarely gets to have a birthday here in America. So that was a special thing. She was in town for that. Grace got engaged to Riley, and I couldn't find a picture of them. That's a joke. They have about 1,000,000,000 pictures of the two of them together. Now, projects. We came back with some projects for the ministry in Romania. Most of you know, we were sent out by Highland Hills about 14 years ago, and we've been doing camp ministry and leadership training in Romania for those years. Usually it was at other facilities, renting places and having groups of anywhere from 50 to 80 campers, 20, 30, 40, 50 staff members, and helping to lead teams that would do weeks of camp at like residential camp. We also did some backpacking trips. We did leadership development. We did some retreats. We were involved in camps in Germany with English camp. And so that's kind of our thing. We're always using other places, though. God allowed us to purchase a piece of property about 5 years ago. And it's 22 acres of land. And we used to call it the Romania Ministry. Now we call it PACT Romania Ministry Center. PACT is an acronym. In Romanian, it's Poiana Argeșului Conferințe și Tabere, which sounds like pastures of Argeș for camps and training. But all you have to remember is this, PACT Romania, because the word PACT means the same thing in English and Romanian. PACT means relationship has been formed. PACT means peace. PACT means promise, right? When people come together and have a good relationship and peace is promised, it's a pact. And so that is the place that God has called us to create and to prepare. One day, we want to be prepared on those 22 acres of land, maybe we add a few more acres, to host up to 500 people at a time for camps and conferences, for training, for retreat, for people to meet with God in a setting that's beautiful, in a setting that is away from distractions, and a place where the message of the gospel can be communicated in a clear way. That's our plan. That's what God has called us to. This is the property from an overhead view. Now, three big projects that have been on our minds during this time that we've been here. First of all is the reception building. Okay, this is our first building, and it will transform the way that we do ministry. Because up until now, it's been tent camping, right? Small groups, it's been little retreats, it's been Wayne and I getting away to just be on the property and try to help maintain it and take care of it. With this building, though, we're going to have bathrooms, boys and girls showers, we're going to have kitchen, we're going to have a couple dormitories, we're going to be able to do retreats year-round, and in the summertime, we'll still use some tents, but sleeping in a tent for a week is a whole different ballgame if you can take a shower, right? Sleeping in a tent is a whole different ballgame if you have a flush toilet, right? Having groups at the land is way different if someone doesn't have to dig a hole every day in order to have facilities, right? I'm looking forward to that day. So this building will help get us there. So the budget, the price tag for this building, $110,000. That's what we were looking at when we came here. And to date, about $55,000 of that need has been given. Okay, so we're halfway there. We presented this need in every church that we visited, and some of God's people, some of the churches, have responded generously to help make it happen. Praise God, amen? It's God's work. He gets the credit, amen? Ship to equip. Some of you know what it's like to load a shipping container. About 14 years ago, we fit everything that we had in the missionary house garage, right? And we got a bunch of people to come help us carry heavy things. And somehow, there's Brad Dotson carrying a box. And somehow, we put the jigsaw puzzle together, right? It's a neat thing to be part of sending a shipping container over. The purpose of this one is to fill it with furnishings for that building and the tools and equipment that we need in order to develop the land and make it all that God has prepared it to be. Can you hear me if I move to the side? Can you still hear me? So Wayne and I have been working on stuff and helping to make sure that the equipment that's been donated and the things that we've been able to acquire are going to function properly. Here's a tractor.